talk to me a little bit about like what it was like when, you know, packing, and then you know hitting the flight, and then seeing Boston for the first time or the campus.
Yeah, well, I guess it didn't really hit me, you know, heading to Boston till I guess once class started. To me, it just seemed like, oh, another day,
mm-hmm.
part of the summer.
Yeah,
you're gonna pack. You're gonna go. Okay. We got there, you know, explored a little bit, got to the house. It was kind of like, go here, go over there. But once the first day of class started, that's when it really like, oh my God, I'm actually here.
Mm.
You know, it was a new experience. I was lucky enough that I was able to travel to another country to study as well. So the idea of leaving, you know, home for a while wasn't a big deal for me. You know, right. But getting to experience a new place is, I don't know, it was great. I like doing. I like exploring. I like mm-hmm. going out and getting lost for a little bit, trying to find something new.
Yeah.
And Cambridge had a lot to offer. You know, a lot to find.
Is there anything about maybe the, I don't know, I guess the mystique or whatever the word is on what people, or maybe what you thought of what Harvard was before, what it was like, or you know, the big
yeah
big
there's time. there's this like cloud when you tell somebody oh yeah, I'm gonna go to Harvard, or I'm going to Harvard, like really, oh my God, what's it like? And honestly, I thought there was this, I don't know how to explain it, you know, I don't know how to explain that feeling or that, you know, but once I got there, all that just disappeared. It was a normal school,
mm-hmm.
normal students, you know, they all had the same normal college experience that I had when I was in undergrad. I don't know if it takes away some of that, you mm-hmm. know, pressure of it's Harvard, or, you know, it makes it even worse, but it was a eye-opener, I think, you know. I think since it seems so far away from the Valley, and it's one of those, oh, nobody from the Valley ever goes to Harvard. You know, it's one of those up there. You have to be really smart.
Yeah.
And this opportunity, I think, kind of really brought that distance a lot closer. It seems like, oh, it's New York. It's, you know, it's Cambridge. It's Boston. Oh, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too far away. You know, and I think this program, that's what it kind of did, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. Touching a little bit on your pilot and your experience. As a migrant farm worker, and you know, arriving at the top of the world, number one schools in the world.
Yeah,
there was no, you know, just, yeah, it's a normal life. I know we're all, you know, the same types of people, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we have our experiences you can share with them. But was it like from migrant farm worker to number one?
Well,
feeling your parents
yeah.
push for education, like you've reached the mountain almost.
Yeah, and my parents are really proud, you know, that I was able. They're from Mexico, you know. They don't know many colleges. You say Pan Am, that's really all they know. But one of those other schools that I think everybody in the world knows is Harvard. And when I told them about the program and that I was accepted and that I was going, they were ecstatic. And surprising that they knew the school, you know, coming from Mexico where all they knew was work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents, my mom, she only went to about equivalent of what third grade is in Mexico. My dad, maybe sixth grade. So they always told us, you know, school's first. They rarely let us work. When we went up north, it was, no, you're going to go to school. But you know, since I was one of the older of the family, I felt like I needed help. So I was working and going mm-hmm. to school. But be able to go from, you know, working to, I don't know, that feeling that you have to work hard to get what you need, to that point where I'm at that point where everyone says, well, you can do whatever you want once you have your master's from Harvard,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the doors open for you. And it's one of those, at least I think my parents feel super proud and super accomplished that they were able to better me, their son, 100, you know, times better than what they thought. All because they instilled that you need to go to school and education comes first. Don't worry about money. Now, they always told me that. Mm-hmm. They always said, money is never going to be an issue. You let us worry about that. If you need something, we'll find some sort of way to get it. Hey, but education will always come first. And I think that, because it was one of those everyday kind of things. Okay, I get it. But now that I'm here, it's kind of like, you know what? I'm glad that they pushed and never let me settle for, oh, you're fine. You know, as long as you get an okay job. No. You need to do the best that you can in anything. Whether it's school, whether it's work, whether it's helping somebody out, even borrowing something. They're like, you better return it in better condition than when it was, because that's the way you need to be doing it. And I feel I'm applying that kind of, you know, those, I don't know the word, that, you know, making sure that at least I make them proud, you know, that everything they taught me, it's not just in one ear, out the other. They can visually see what's going on.
You know? Right. Let's transition back to Harvard. And can you go talk a little bit about what you did every day, or how you started your day, and how maybe the fast pace did kick in once you got into class?
Well, the first couple of days seemed kind of fast, because it was like, you need to know where this is, you know where that is. Kind of rough. But once I got into the rhythm, you know, class and homework and class and homework, I was able to get at least settle myself in. So I think a typical day, at least for me, was wake up 5:30 in the morning and go off and go work out. You know, I was able to find a CrossFit gym over there. You know, I became very good friends with the owner, and I actually ended up volunteering in one of his soccer camps as an assistant coach, helping him out. You know, and because of that, he kind of helped me out with, you know, going to the gym. Whenever you want to come in. You know, we're still great friends. And that's one of those connections that I'm glad that, you know, if I wouldn't ever gone, never known him, and now he's kind of pushing for some kind of program down here in the valley. Huh? Right? So in the morning, it's you go to his CrossFit gym, Commonwealth CrossFit, and then come back, get ready, go to class. My first class, pre-cal, which, you know, from, I think it was like 10 to 12, something like that. Then we had about half an hour break. It was try to do as much homework as you can between the next class, because the next class, the group's class, was a lot tougher. Mm. Well, I say tougher only because it was a lot more work, in the sense that the assignment wasn't one of those, you know, 2+2 skill. It was more like trying to conceptualize something really abstract, you know, finding symmetries of a cube, of a tetrahedron, of a triangular prism kind of thing, trying to find how you can cut it in different shapes or turn it or rotate it. It's something that we're not used to doing, you know. So it was tedious, a lot of work, and it took up a lot of time. So that's why once you start getting to the rhythm, you're like, you know, let's get some of this homework down from pre-cal, so we can worry about this and have more time after class, so that we're not staying up till 2-3 in the morning, you know, because you have to do it again the next day, you know. So once we got the rhythm going, it became normal, you know? I guess because we're so used to going to work, you know, get the lesson plan ready in the morning, make copies, get everything ready, work, you know, with the students.
So you guys went with the whole class? The 9 of you went to every course at the same time and studied together?
Well, some of us, half of us had the calculus, half of us had the pre-cal. So the first course we were different, the second one we were in the same. But I think the reason we didn't stick together, as you know, as in every night we're, you know, how'd you do this, how'd you do that? It was more like, let's do it on our own. Yeah. Let's work it out on our own and then conceptualize after. Try to get that, what is it, that college feeling, because honestly, and we're privileged because we have everybody here and we come here and we work together, but sometimes it's not always like that. You know, kind of have to find somebody. So I think we all kind of decided, you know, let's not rely on ourselves only. Let's network. You know, that's why the whole point of this program, you know, get other teachers, because this program has a bunch of teachers, so all over the country. Mm-hmm. So I think it forced us to go talk to other people.
Okay, you know, there's other cohorts.
Yeah, other. They're not fortunate enough to be in a cohort, but they're taking similar classes. Mm-hmm. Some in the same classes we were, but they're like at a different pace. Some are about to graduate. Some has just started. Some are in the middle. So, you know, I took it on myself to try to sit away from our cohort, mm-hmm. not because I didn't like them, but it was because, you know, let me talk. Let me find somebody else. You know, make mm-hmm. a new friend, make a new network,
yeah.
so that if I ever have a question, I can email them, talk to them. You know, give them a phone call real quick. Hey, you know, I have a question on this. How would you resolve this issue?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and so far it worked. You know, I got to know a couple of people. Some of the other guys got to know a couple of people, and we're still connected.
Great.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we didn't really stick together. But once we did the class, we finished our homework, and I guess start all over again. You know.
Were there any other places that you like to share that you found that were good places for you to study, or you know, on campus or?
Campus. In terms of campus, I didn't go too far. Mm-hmm. It was just the Science Center, because that's where we had our two classes, and back home mm-hmm. for the most part. But I think next year it'll be something like, let's discover more of the campus. It was more discovering Cambridge, mm-hmm. discovering Boston, see what's around. You know, there's some nice places that I'm assuming, because there's so much open space, at least in certain areas, that you can, you know, sit down and just work.
Mm-hmm.
I think a couple of the guys, they said they went to the library and they said they liked it. It was nice and quiet. So I think there's a lot of places, but I didn't want to overwhelm myself and try to explore everything. I was kind of focusing on the class itself,
mm-hmm.
getting used to that, you know, routine, you know, from working to becoming a student. Teacher to student, it's a hard transition. You're so used to teaching, now you have to kind of undo that and say, okay, now let me sit back and see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know.
So what kind of workouts did you do at the CrossFit?
There's some rough ones out there. Yeah. it's a little bit of everything. You know, you have some Olympic lifting with some strength and conditioning, and then you have your metabolic conditioning, which is a lot of like sprints. It gets your heart rate up, and then they mix everything together. So it's not just strictly like strength. It's not strictly conditioning. They'll mix it up. They'll, you know, for example, they'll have you do heavy back squat, right? And then move on to go run 400 meters, then do it again, right? And then this time run 600 meters, back squats again, and then 700 meters, you know? So it's gets you tired, gets your heart rate up, and really, this is from the morning workout. It was a bunch of pull-ups. Yeah, pull-ups.
Mm.
It was 10 burpees. You jump over and you do a burpee, right? And then it was 20 pull-ups and 30 squats and then 40 toaster bars. So where you grab on the bar and you swing your feet to touch the bar 40 times. And then 50, what they call thrusters, is like a squat. And you stand up, and with a bar, you pick it up. You do 50 of those. 60 kettlebell swings. So with the kettlebell, you just swing it up,
mm-hmm.
right? And then a 70 jump rope, but you do double unders. So it's like the rope has to go under you twice before you land. So you have to jump pretty high and do double.
Would you say the CrossFit gym is something similar you'd find here, or was it different?
The atmosphere is very similar. I think the CrossFit community is real like that they try to keep everything uniform. I think the coaches are a little bit different, the way they mm-hmm. approach it. Some more strict, some more lax, more positive, others more, you know, come on, let's go, more competitive. Up in Commonwealth, it was more positive. You're doing good, you know, keep going, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And here, since they know me a little bit better, I think it was more competitive. Like, yeah. Let's go. You know, you can't be at the end. You have to be up front. Let's go. Really pushing you. But in terms of how it is, it's basically the same. At least the workouts are very similar.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about... By what time did your day end?
So I get home after my second class, like at, I think it was like 3, and it was finish my homework, however long it took, if it was an hour, 3 hours, whatever it was. And then if we finished early, me and Juan would actually go to the gym there at Harvard. So I guess that's another place we went to,
mm-hmm.
the Harvard gym. We did a little workout and then have our dinner. So, usually if it wasn't a lot of homework, be home by 9:30, 10.
Yeah.
Right? But after the 3, because the second class was a 3-week class, so after the 3 weeks we had a little more time in the afternoon. That's when we started exploring a little bit more, going out, you know, to Boston, checking out the parks. We ended up went to go see a baseball game, the Red Sox play. Went up to Maine for the weekend.
Oh yeah, I heard with the teacher or something.
A friend of mine from here lives in Boston, has an uncle there, and he told me go visit. He's waiting for you. You know, I just took off and rented a car and took off over there. And
nice.
The drive alone is beautiful.
Yeah.
Even if you just go drive and come back.
Mm-hmm. It's woods.
A lot of woods, a lot of little hills. The beaches over there are, I guess, not what we call a beach. It's a bunch of rocks, right? And the water hitting the rocks,
mm-hmm.
you know, overlapping the rock.
Nice.
And lighthouses.
Lighthouses.
I think it's one of those places for a photographer. Because
mm-hmm.
you can take pictures of everything and anything. You know, and my friend's uncle, he took us out a couple of places, talked about the history and, you know, certain forts and there, and certain submarines were coming in, so in part of the Cold War and stuff like that. And it was interesting, really interesting. You know, I enjoyed it. And we already made plans for next year to go up a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe even Canada, Niagara Falls.
Easy.
Because... They
it's right there.
People in Maine think it's really far away. It's like one of those, you need a whole week trip. But it honestly, I was looking, it's like 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's like here to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. You know.
Yeah, that's great. It's a good experience. Overall, was the training and the coursework, was there enough or more than enough to come back and try to apply to school?
I think it was more than enough. Our groups in symmetry, it seemed really abstract at first. You know, why do you want to talk about, you know, symmetries of a cube? What's the point? You know, how are you going to apply that to a high school where they're always constantly saying, why do I need this? Why do I need this? So a symmetry to them seems real elementary. What's the point? But he started connecting some of this kind of stuff with groups, being able to make a group, and the symmetries of a group, and even the foundations of math. You know, you have a group, being able to prove something logically with logical steps is something that I'm bringing back and having my students kind of like think about, not just here's the answer or here's the formula, take it. It's more like, okay, here's the formula. How did they get it? Do you believe it? You know, why do you think they got it? What were the problems that they were noticing that they were able to make this formula? Coming back, it made me kind of rethink the way, instead of just giving them the information, it's more like, okay, let's think about it. Let's kind of develop it on our own so that it sticks a little bit better. Oh, but it was a lot of information that can be applied to the classroom, but I think it's more than enough. To be honest,
were you on foot most of the time, or like coming to and from house to the gyms or to
at first? I was on foot, But it seemed easier to rent a bike, so I actually rented a bike.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too bad. I think it was like $40, $50 for the summer that we were there. So it wasn't too bad. So from there, we were on a bike. It just made everything a lot easier.
Yeah.
Plus, it was kind of hot sometimes, so you'd go sweating if you were walking. Because
mm-hmm.
you're in the sun. At least I'm used to sweating like crazy. So on a bike, it makes it a lot easier.